We'll go ahead and call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order for September 10th, 2024. If all would rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. We'll go ahead and open up the council meeting to public comment. Just go ahead and state your name and why you're here, and then you get your 3 minutes of fame.
Thank you.
Jennifer Ray Chanhassen. Subject is voting, specifically absentee ballot boards. My better half is passing out a note here on a couple of things that I'll read aloud that have to do with the absentee ballot boards. If you didn't know, people either vote in person at their precinct or they can send in a ballot, and that's called voting via absentee. In 2020, over half of our votes were voted via absentee. In 2022, over 13,000 votes were voted via absentee. In voting in person in the precincts, there is a law, and it is strictly adhered to, that you have to have major party balance to process that in all the processes A through Z. So you have a Democrat and a Republican or somebody from a major party doing all aspects, whether it be handing out the ballot or sitting at a table where you're checking in. And so I will just read aloud here something that I came across when I was clicking here, clicking there on the League of Women Voters website. And if you go to page 2, it says election judges are required to identify a party affiliation because two election judges of the same party cannot work together. If you go to the last page, then the ballots are removed from the ballot secrecy envelope. All steps of the counting process are done in pairs with two election judges of differing parties. We do not do that in Carver County. Safeguards: if a voter marked their ballot improperly, a team of election judges of different parties will go through and determine the intent of the voter. If the intent of the voter is not clear, the election judges will not guess. In bold, again, this whole process is done with election judges of differing parties all present. We do not do that here in Carver County. So far, it's been a big failure, but I'm too stubborn to give up. I have a goal, and that is to make Carver County have absentee vetted major party balance in the processes of A to Z through our absentee ballot board members. So in order to do that, what I have done, or I'm in the midst of, is going to each and every city council and township and asking them to take action. So if it sounds to you as though that sounds pretty common sense, provides transparency and accountability, which our commissioners for Carver County are responsible for, I have a request of an action item for you. That action item, which I will put in writing and mail to you tomorrow, is something really simple that says the city of the township of Hamburg and Chris Lund, Mr. Gruenhagen, and all of your names are listed down there. We support our commissioners in Carver County passing a resolution where they require vetted major party balance in processes A to Z on our absentee ballot board. And that is my request. Any questions?
That's all. Any questions?
Just one thing I want to note, so council's clear or aware that Carver County handles absentee ballot. We do not handle the absentee balloting at the city of Hamburg. It's all done at the county.
That's correct. And what they have is certain areas that they're supposed to have election judges do at a minimum. One is that's absolutely mandatory that they have signature verification, which with the laws that they changed with the trifecta downtown is no longer signature verifying. You don't even need an address, by the way, to register to vote anymore if you didn't know some of the changes that are going on. And then the second part of it is that it was mandatory to have election judges do this last part, and that was part of the law. The safeguard of when they're gone and there's somebody putting the ballots through, you were supposed to have major party balance processing those, the things that get rejected. As you know, people, I don't know what they do, but they don't fill in the override or something and they get their ballot rejected. It's not a huge percentage. It's typically under 5%, but you do get some that are rejected because they just didn't fill the ballot out right. So what was law was that that was supposed to be done with different parties. We didn't do that in Carver County in 2022. All we had was two employees that ran the machine, that ran them through in a room by themselves at night after 8 o'clock. There was no major party balance whatsoever when they duplicated those balance, because you know with over 13,000, they had some of them being rejected. And I just think that that doesn't provide appearance, transparency or accountability. Now, our commissioners do in fact have the authority and the ability to do this, but that means that they have to buck what the voted in deputy county attorney is saying, don't do it, don't do it. And the city administrator is saying, we just want our employees to do it. Don't do it, don't do it. But they do in fact have the authority, the responsibility, and the capability of doing it if they put their big boy pants on. So I'm requesting from all of you, or even if it isn't a group effort, maybe there's a handful of you who are willing and able to make a phone call. There's five commissioners, and send them an email saying, makes common sense to me. I am a representative in Hamburg, and I would like Hamburg's votes to be counted by major party balance in the A to Z process. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else for public comment? Okay. We'll move on then to the agenda review. I don't know if there's any additions or deletions based on what we have written. If not, then I will look for a motion to approve the agenda as written.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the agenda as written. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose? Agenda is adopted. Move on then to the consent agenda. Look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as written.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose? Passes. Chief.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I don't know about you guys, but I sure missed you. Glad to be back up here.
What are you asking for now?
Well, you'll find out. You'll find out. All right. So first off, I can do the fire department stuff for the Zummerfest committee. I'm here for both. So
okay.
I'll start with Zummerfest committee stuff because I feel like that's going to be the easiest. First thing, the Zummerfest committee would look for the council to do is approve this resolution number 2024-6 to deem Zummerfest a city festival.
Council, any questions? We've been doing it for how many years now?
This would be the second year that it's been Zummerfest.
But I mean, we've been doing this resolution.
It's called something else. Yeah, it was... they had the big rib jig down there for a while. So,
Colton, any questions for the chief? Otherwise, I would look for a motion.
Make a motion to approve resolution number 2024-06 to make Zummerfest a city celebration for this year.
Councilman Poplar, second.
It's moved and seconded to approve resolution 2024-06. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose? Passes.
Thank you. I was here earlier this spring, I think, and had asked the city's permission to close down Railroad Street. The city granted us permission to do so. I'm asking now if we can have the street shut down from roughly 4 p.m. Saturday until 10 a.m. on Sunday to get set up and clean up.
I don't see any issue with that.
I don't either.
Is that in the resolution? I thought I read something about city disclosure.
Yeah, about the street. I don't know if times, specific times were. I just talked about alcohol.
Okay. So you want it from when to when again?
Roughly 4 p.m. Saturday until 10 a.m. Sunday. So it'd be the 21st to the 22nd. We'd be setting up right around 4 p.m. on Saturday, and then the event happens and then have everything cleaned up and ready to go by the latest at 10 a.m. on Sunday.
Council, any thoughts? Otherwise, look for a motion to approve the closure of that time frame.
Make a motion to close Railroad Street down from Saturday, September 21st at 4 p.m. to Saturday or Sunday, September 22nd at 10 a.m. for Zimmerfest.
Councilman Poplar, second.
Moved seconded to close Railroad Street from September 21st to the 22nd, starting at 4 p.m. on the 21st, ending at 10 a.m. on the 22nd. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Polzin, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? Passes.
Thank you. With that, would you call in locates? You or Jason, call in locates, because we'll be putting fence posts in for snow fence to keep people from wandering.
Talk to Johnny. He knows, but he's busy tonight. So that's why I'm doing this.
And then another thing he wanted to know, there was some concern about the high back curb on the east side of Railroad Street towards the railroad tracks. Stifton's Fest puts benches along their high back curb under the big tent between the pavilion. That way people cannot trip over it. The Zimmerfest committee would like to know if the city has any requests to do such things, or if we can just trust people to not trip over a curb and injure themselves.
Staff, council, any thoughts on that?
I guess what it would be done in the past.
I don't think we've done anything.
I don't think anything last
year. I personally don't see a big need for it, but then you get that one person that maybe indulges too much, trips over the curb, hits himself, you know, hurts himself, and then comes back at the city and says, you should have had something there. I don't know if you guys had wishes one way or the other. I mean, I'm sure we could make.
Where's the fence? Right on the curb.
I thought Mr. Egan had said he wanted to use part of that grass lot, since it is now officially city property, give people more room. So I'm not exactly sure where he wants to put the fence. That'd be a good question for him.
I mean, can't we just put it right on the line? Because people walking in the grass is a liability.
Yeah, I mean, we could put it back on the curb. I know when we talked about it, our committee meeting, the thought was to have it back, I don't know, 20 feet or so, and utilize the grass space.
There isn't something where we can like put up like print out some like laminated signs that say like, watch your step, if you injure yourself, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Is there, what's the legal ramification?
Well, putting up a sign? You know, that's just it. I mean, the curb's there.
Right.
I mean, how's it any different than you don't have an event and somebody
Gets
over a curb? You're going to sue because the curb was there?
Right. And like I said,
I'm just trying to see what the legality.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm personally not worried about it, but you know, I'm not the person that's going to trip, hurt myself, and then call you guys and say, hey, this is your fault.
You might trip yourself.
Yeah, I'm not going to call.
Yeah, unless there's some extra liability that I'm not seeing, then I don't know if we really need to do anything extra for that. Right. I mean,
if you think of something, get a hold of myself or Mitch or Johnny and let us know. But I guess for the time being, we'll just leave it.
Well, I'm just thinking, you look like, take Stifton's Fest. They're not doing anything for the curb when you walk along the street or the sidewalk or.
See, that's what I was told. Brad said inside that big yellow tent, they line that entire high back curb with this like sitting benches, except for where maybe there one spot you could walk through so people can't trip over it. But I also don't know, do they have something in front of every single rope that comes down that's holding that big tent up? So what's the difference between a high back curb and a rope that you could walk into or trip over? I don't know.
Yeah.
So it was on my list of things to bring up. So if you guys have no issues with it, I have no issues with it.
Celebrate at your own risk.
Just put a sign.
All right. I think we've killed that one.
All right. As far as I know, that is all I have for.
Oh, with that, Stephen.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Will you notify dispatch?
Yeah, I'll notify dispatch.
Okay.
And let them know it'll be closed down. And then essentially, as long as we know, which we will, that's the most important thing.
Exactly.
But then they can notify squads and ambulance too.
Yeah.
That's closed that way.
Exactly.
So.
Okay.
All right. Do you guys have any other questions that I may or may not be able to answer about Zummerfest?
Council?
All right, perfect. I look forward to seeing you all there. All right, I'm done with Zummerfest. I can move on to fire department stuff if you guys are ready for that. Inside of your packets, I'm guessing somewhere towards the back, that's where Jeremy likes to keep me. You'll find some information. I had Jeremy looked up. We're going to approach the city council and look for a raise in our paid on call and paid per training. I don't know where it is in the. I'm looking at the hourly rates. So, as for Jeremy's help, he came up with the numbers of calls that we've had from 2019 to 2023. And then he did a 3-year and 5-year average number of calls. And then, based the pay rate on the high number of calls and the amount of personnel that we had on the department when he made this up. When he made this up, there was roughly 30 people, maybe 28 people on the department that he had accounted for. Right now we're at 24. Looking at these numbers, the city already has $10,000 budgeted for paid on call and paid trainings. And that's at $10 a training and $10 a call. If we were to move up to $12 a call, we would still be under that $10,000 budget that's already allotted for. And again, these numbers are set for I think it was 28 or was it 30? Jeremy, do you remember? 30 member department, and we're at 24 right now. So even if we were to go with a higher number of calls, we're still not going to meet our $10,000 budgeted plan. So with these numbers that Jeremy had provided over the years and the averaging, the raise to the fire department would essentially cost the city nothing.
Call into any questions for the chief? Well, we can definitely take it under advisement and as we go through.
I don't expect anything decided on tonight, just answering questions. I did bring up to Jeremy, I didn't know if it would be in the best interest of the city if we were to, you know, take that 10,000 and make it 11 or 12 just to add a little bump. But then Jeremy explained, well, unless you plan on hiring 6 guys in the next year, we're still not going to meet those numbers based on what we're running right now. So he felt pretty comfortable with where things sit. Well, he's kind of the numbers guy. He does a good job at it. I'll trust him. If there's more questions, you know, you can look. There are, he broke it down to how many trainings and how many calls each person attended, and then how much it paid out for each person last year. I think that was on the previous page. And then another one of the pages just has the call percentage that everybody had for last year. So if there's any questions on any of that.
Yeah, if they want that, this is the only page I have there.
Sorry.
Of that whole spreadsheet that I gave you.
Okay, I'll take that under advisement and tackle that with the budget conversation.
All right. Next, moving forward, the fire department is looking to seek a raise in their para retirement benefit. I provided Jeremy some numbers. I'm assuming he put it in the packet here. Hope so.
I haven't put that in.
You haven't put it in?
No.
All right. Well, then I can just read it off to you here. So Para sent out a cost analysis with, it's just a general cost analysis without, he'll pull it up on here. General cost analysis. I didn't ask him for this. They just sent it out. They're doing it for every, fire department. It'll be on page 4, Jeremy. One more down, I think. Keep going. I think it should be the cost impact of increase in benefit level should be the. Right there. Currently, the Hamburg Fire Department sits at $2,000 per firefighter per year. That's listed in the far left column. As you guys know, that has required zero city contribution over the last 2 years. Based on Para's formula that they run, we could move up to a $2,200 total for per firefighter per year with zero cost to the city. I will reach out to our rep at Para and find out at what percent level funding that puts us at. With a $0 contribution, that tells me we're over 100%. So again, for those of you that don't know or don't remember, the money that's in this account for Hamburg Fire Department, it has enough money to pay in all active members if they were to walk off the job tomorrow, plus everybody that's retired, and there would still be leftover money in that account. And that's just based off of interest accrued in that account, how the money markets have played out that the Para gurus have put it in. It also shows you there if we jumped up to $3,000, you know, that would be almost $12,000 cost to the city and the taxpayers. That's not what we're looking for. I'm looking basically just over the years, just to small increments to raise our retirement level without putting an impact on the city or the taxpayers. So if you guys have any questions or you want more information brought forth to the next couple meetings, please let me know and I will get any and all information for you and bring it.
Is there in, I haven't seen this report yet, so, but in this report, do they talk about the potential Fed cut that's coming?
I haven't seen anything in here. I've read through it a couple times. I haven't seen anything, but they're all this stuff they're doing. So this is 24/4/25, obviously. So this is all a projection of what they figure next year is going to bring as well. It's a combination of what's happening so far and what they project to happen. I would assume they have that in here. I don't know for sure. But
Jeremy, I can need for the report on to council. So then we can take a look at it. Cause that would be a concern I would have is just, they've been a lot of discussion lately about a Fed rate cut happening, okay, which would reduce interest rates, which would reduce the ability for this fund to continue to make money as it is.
Okay. I have that listed as well. So if it's not in here, I'll reach out to our rep and see if they have that accounted for.
Perfect.
Is there any other questions, comments, or concerns?
Council, any other questions for the chief?
No.
I will tell you, I know it's been asked about previous years, and I can pull this information together as well as what other cities the same size of roughly. Green Isle assistant chief reached out to me a month or two ago. They were moving up to $2,100 raise. New Germany is similar in size. They're at $2,800 per person. And outside of that, you know, they get a little bigger. I think Norwood's up over 3,000. But you know, they're a little bit bigger city and department than we are. So is that something you guys would like to see, or does it not
comparison? Or
yeah, you can put it on paper.
Yeah. More okay. Better than no info.
Okay.
Does that take into consideration, like if 5 people would retire next year or the year after, like does that matter?
Yep, that's all taken in. So right now in 2024, what we're at right now, we're at the $2,000. So if this stayed at $2,000, or say it went up to $2,200, that would account for every firefighter that's going to retire within that year. That money would then be accounted for. And then 2026, I want to say it would be roughly the same depending on how the markets do. If there was a massive crash, and we're talking probably like 10-12% that would just stay, that's what the type of thing that would affect this account. But right now, I think when we switched over to the $2,000 from 1800, we were at 107 or 108% funded. So that's already 7-8% more than what we would need if they retire in a year, 2 years, or 3 years. So this goes year by year. So if somebody retires in 2025, whatever number we're at, it's already accounted for.
Council, any other questions for the chief? Again, we can tackle this during the budget process and that too. So, all right. Chief, anything else for us?
I don't think so. If you guys don't have any questions for me, then that's all I got.
Perfect.
All right. You guys have a good rest of your meeting and a wonderful evening.
Well, since you missed us so much, you're probably going to stick around, obviously.
Yeah, you would think that, wouldn't you?
See you.
All right, move on to old city business, parcel 45 and change.
Okay, just from follow-up from last meeting on the parcel split and the miscommunication in the filing of the deed, I talked to Mr. Dougal, and he said he's more than willing to come to a council meeting if we would like him present to discuss further. If there's any wishes from council or...
By the hour?
I was going to say, at this point, I think we're...
So unless there's some... Done. If you have an inkling to have him come, then just let Jeremy know, and we can definitely...
Or a concern, let me know.
Yeah. And get that taken care of. But the good thing is it's filed.
It's filed and recorded, and it's on the GIS.
Perfect. All right. So move on then to the park incidents, July 15th, 13th and 15th.
So just a quick update. Two of the other juveniles have later this month have their initial hearing. One of the juveniles had their initial hearing and pled not guilty. So that will go to a pretrial. So just an update on that. And I'll keep you informed. But I think the main thing that court was asking now was just that for that next court date for this individual for to provide evidence to them. So do we have any footage yet?
I don't think so. Because I don't think we saved.
I know we have.
I know Jess is now already saved something.
Yeah. So we'll have to look at that.
But that was the
bathroom. Right. Not the other incident. Correct. So. Right. So.
How far back are they going? You want to go back a month, right?
30 days, yeah. But that individual hasn't had his hearing, I don't believe, yet either, that was charged with the property damage. Yeah.
And he pled not guilty, but there's no.
Well, the trespass was the not guilty, I believe. Yeah. So I don't know if we, I don't think we had any evidence on that, on the trespass.
Is there any way we can make that a longer process on film? Like, I don't know how it really works. Like, can we have a 90-day thing? So, like, seems like our incidents are more summer.
It would be storage is really what it comes down to.
You can, can you save it? If you know what happens and you find it?
Yeah. And I thought we saved a clip on the damage, but as far as the trespassing, I don't know what they're asking for, because I'll have to incur on that a little bit more, because the last we heard was that they were issued no trespassing after the incidences. So obviously they must have got caught on city property again to get charged with trespassing.
right? Or am I not following this right?
Yeah, I would check with them what they need and what they're looking for.
I'll follow up with
back, the court. Back to Jessica's point, like you said, is there a way, like, what would it cost to expand the memory to,
or right, you, exactly.
Or
yep.
Expand the memory to 90 days or 120 days?
Can we book in the whole system?
I don't think any of them are easy, though.
Are they?
No.
Because this is headaches.
Yeah, none that we use at work are easy.
It's slow. It's cumbersome. Let's put it that way.
Okay, I didn't know. I mean, like, if there was an easy way to
Anybody knows a better system, we're all for it. But as far as the trespassing, that I have to look in why, if there's any evidence needed for that, because from what I understand, they had issued them that if they came on the property again, right, after this incident, that they then would be hit with trespassing. Well, now they hit them with trespassing, so they obviously must have
come back.
But
I
don't recall us being notified of that.
Oh, I thought the charge was trespassing for the eviction. I don't know.
Well, check with them what they want. I mean, we're not going to solve it here tonight. So.
That possibly was trespassing. We should have done the camera. Yeah. The other kid, he stays off property. So,
yeah, I'll look into it a little deeper. We'll discuss tomorrow.
Okay. Move on then to the 2024 street improvement project on Brad.
All right. So one thing. The first thing is, I'll just skip here. So we're looking to start tomorrow, September 11th. along with that, we're going to have them do the park walking path. What we talked about earlier, council recalls, we talked about sloping that a little more level and redoing a little bit of that path there. They're going to do that as a separate billing instead of, since they're in town, it would be the same rate, so they won't do a change order on that. They're just going to build that separate, they told us. So, and then the other thing is, we talked about change order for curb replacement. We're probably looking at about what me and Jason found, about $4,000. So I don't know if that's something we want to do at this time, or we said, do we do it at the time we do them streets, or, you know, and the problem we had is, where do you start? Where do you end?
Yeah. Did you ever contact the county?
No, I did not. And I was going to bring that up. 58 feet of it is on the county road, which is the corner of Railroad Street. And, you know, there, that was about 58. We were looking to put curb in there because there's kind of curb and then it's gone. And the curb that's there is beat up. And then there's a surmountable curb there. But we were looking at fixing that. But then Brody had brought up, well, that's not county road. The county's responsibility are ours. And that would be, that's almost what half of it.
There's a couple spots, but Mitch's house, that one there.
The right.
Trust. There's three spots on that road.
I'd reach out to the county first and then see where we're at.
Yeah. So I guess the big thing is because it's kind of, I guess, a little bit later in the game when you always throw these things on, you know, 2-3 weeks before the project. I'd asked Brody to check with Miller's if it was even a possibility, but now Brody hasn't got back to me. We talked to him, last Tuesday? But he hasn't got back to me. But is that something you want staff to pursue? If whoever Miller subcontracts out for curbing, if they're willing to do it?
Fix the curbs on the street that are broken.
Yeah.
All over. It's on the east end of town.
I mean, I guess if we're already there, like you said, it's hard to say where to start and stop. But I mean, we came in way under budget already on it. So if it's $2,000 to fix curbs that are shattered.
It's me about $4,000.
I'll get $4,000.
Yeah.
I thought that was without the county stuff.
Well, if you take the counties out, that's about $2,000, yeah.
I don't know.
I guess I'll reach out to the county first, see if they do anything with it.
Right.
And then if they don't, then just budget the $4,000, like Mitch said, just be done with it and you're over and done with it.
Because I think the last thing we want, that road's been cut up 47 times in the last 10 years. Let's just, once we're there and it's out, let's fix what we think we need to right away. And if it's $2,000, then we came in under budget already. So that's my thoughts on it, I guess.
Because what we've done in the past is we do the street, then we, you know, address it. But there are a few spots that could be hazardous to, so say, the, you know, the plow hitting some curbs that could cause some serious.
The topic of the curb, which I was going to bring up, and the only reason I bring it up is mainly for a learning thing, most likely for myself. I've had a couple different people reach out to me. Majority of them do pave roads. I probably should ask Steven, who's here. But they said that when they redo roads with the way the pavement is to the curb, they put a joint compound in there. And they always build a joint compound to help those two seal together. And the guy told me, multiple people have told me, it's the biggest waste of money that firms like to throw in there that doesn't do a thing. It's more of a pain in the butt than it is that it actually works. So I don't know. I'm sure Brody's going to say we need it because they know that's just what everyone's doing. But what's that cost? I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't know anything about it. I've been told by several different people that all new roads, when pavement meets curb and gutter now, they put a joint compound between there, but essentially it's just throwing good money after bad because it doesn't really do it. So I don't know. I was told I'd bring it up to council because I said it's more of a learning curve for me because I don't even know what that means. I've never paved a road, but yeah, I don't know. I was told by multiple people that it's just a waste of money. And they like to throw that in the bids to just another thing that they can charge.
You know, I don't even know if it's in the bid. Right? Right. We'd have to research and look. We can talk to Brody. Like
I said, I don't even know
tomorrow about it.
But I've heard from just some of the people that
joint compound, right?
Yeah, it's joint between compound.
The curb and the street.
Between the curb and the street, they put a joint compound down, I guess. And I mean, some people that I don't know if they're going to be on this project or other project they've done in other cities that they've said that they've done it. So can be a waste. I don't know. Told them we'd look in.
Okay. We'll talk to Brody tomorrow about it.
Okay.
Okay, as far as curb, what council's wishes? Move forward with
curb replacement?
Move forward with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just get it done.
We'll do a change order and then we can approve that. Along with that, I don't know if they can do it either. I always hate this. You always think of the crap at the 2-minute warning, you know, but me and Jason were talking about a bunch of things on just what we can do with that outlot and use of that outlot. One of the things we've talked about was, you know, having a garden there, but water access. Well, it'd probably be pretty expensive to do it. And I don't even know if they'd be able to do it time-wise now, but we were talking about, since we're doing Brad Street, to bring water into that outlet.
I mean, if you want a hockey pond there too, it'd be nice to have.
I mean, I guess we could take a look at what it would cost. And first, would they have time to do it?
See, and that's what I don't know. We just brainstormed it late last week.
With a week turnaround, you know, it's kind of tough
to throw it on them. And then, because that's
the water.
Because now you're digging all the way down to the main.
Right, you're disrupting the base that's there.
And that might delay them, and so it may not be.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Where is the closest water? That end house there?
Well, it's in the street.
Oh.
So we would just extend it into, but you know, that might be pretty spendy too, though, to dig that down and extend that. Because what was a hydrant? $15,000, so.
Yeah.
You're probably looking at $10,000 to do that.
Oh, but a hydrant's
$5,000 because a hydrant's what?
5,800.
Yeah.
So I mean, so $6,000.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you first see if it's even possible with their timeline, and then secondly, you know, get some pricing on it, and we can figure out if it makes sense or not. Anything else for the Brad Street project? Okay. Move on then to Carver County aging population.
Okay. So we've had a little bit of discussion on, you know, what Hamburg can do for the aging population in town. I did attend the Office of Aging at the county, their annual meeting last Friday. And basically, there are, well, hope I don't forget any, but like Watertown, Waconia, Norwood, Chan, Victoria. I think them are the only cities in Carver County. Did I say NYA? NYA? That have a, basically they have a board of commission on aging or seniors commission. But in that meeting, one of the things was talking about ageism. You're supposed to refrain from saying seniors and keywords and this, but so basically the big thing was, is there's the first thing to kind of do is to put a board together on aging. Some of the biggest things they talked about was, is just having, even if it's a block section of a book club or a coffee, cards, and then to have discussions, have people come in. Like some cities have had the Geek Squad come in and teach seniors about technology, you know, those type things. I mean, I think a biggest one, or one of the things I brought up was a good one, would be streaming, because everything's going to streaming. And I know that was quite the learning lesson when I changed my dad to that. So, mm-hmm. So I think if we were to look at doing something like this, I think the first thing is maybe we can put something out in a newsletter. Anybody would, if we want to pursue it, if anybody would be interested, right, in sitting on a, you know, a board or start a board and looking at doing things for the aging community. Them are kind of the first steps that everybody's done. And there's a bunch of other things I got, you know, that people do. So it was kind of interesting. But there too, like they said too, is the biggest problems they run into is getting the word out and participation. Mm-hmm. People partake. So.
Yeah, we can definitely mention it in the newsletter, yeah, you know, for this week, and just see what people decide they want to do.
Yep.
Anybody have any questions for Jeremy on that? Okay. We'll then move on to new city business. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
What? Oh.
Hello.
I think it was two meetings ago.
It was two meetings ago.
Yeah, where we talked about the scouts. Was it September to May?
Something like that, yeah.
Somewhere in that area.
Yep.
Kind of where we left off was about them having a place for their meetings. And it was first and third Mondays, if I remember right.
First and third Monday, yep.
But this community center's booked. So one of the things was talk about using the hall basement. So I don't know if that would work, yeah, for you that, guys.
That would perfectly suffice for us. And our scouts, you know, we make sure they clean up after themselves, because that's, you know, part of the gig. So I just needed to finalize it all. I would have been back last month to do it, but life happened. So
any concerns, Jason, with any of the facilities downstairs?
They work. They're not crazy down there, but they work. So
yeah, we just need a home, you know.
I mean, the bathrooms are, no, they work.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that there will be, I don't have an exact date on that. I believe it's in March, about maybe using the, in on a Saturday, using the space for their Pinewood Derby. That, but that's
down the road.
Down the road. Okay.
Council thoughts?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with
it.
Good
to me.
Okay.
Anything you need from council on anything other than just that, what we just did, Jeremy?
I would say just a motion to approve Cub Scouts troop, whatever.
Yep.
The use of the hall basement for their meetings on the first and third Monday. Right?
Yep, first and third Monday.
You make them. Well, troop number?
361.
Make a motion to allow Cub Scouts Troop 361 to use the hall basement facilities for the every first and third Monday of the month for their meetings.
Councilman Poplar, second it.
Moving seconded to allow the scouts to use the basement on the first and third Monday of the month. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Polzin, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? Congratulations. Thank you. Just work with staff to get keys and stuff like that.
Sounds good. Thank you very much again.
Thank you.
All right, now we'll move on to the 2025 proposed budget.
All right, so me and Jason worked on putting the rough draft together here. The biggest thing is if you just want to kind of look at the 2025 budget items, you can see the items we have added into the budget that are kind of outside the norm or the average expenses we incur throughout the year. So all these items with a number in the right column under 2025, that is included in the budget. So when we add that all in, just one thing to note is that, you know, last year we had that $90,000 transfer from the general to the sewer fund. So that kind of came off the books. Even adding this in, we're still about $42,000 to the good. So that's a, it's a good problem until the next problem comes up. Yeah, just like last year, we thought we were good too. And then
you have 10,000 for the grass rig. Do you have, don't you have 20 grand in there that you said?
I do have 20. So on here, I have 10, but there is, I do have 20 in there. Correct. I did increase that to 20. What that is for is when were they looking, 26, 27? You know, a while back, Stephen had come that they were looking at a new grad rate. So, and that would be a kind of a cost share with the townships too. So, but I just thought while we have the monies available, we should start looking at, you know, putting some monies available. Other things we did is we have in there a broom attachment. Tools was just a kind of an annual budget item anyways. New lawnmower, setting $5,000 away into the maintenance and equipment fund. And then sidewalk out here, we have $12,000 for replacing all the sidewalk out front here. It's getting bad. If you see by the door now, it's starting to pull away.
What doesn't, to back to the new lawnmower, what does a new lawnmower cost? Has anybody ever?
Like, $13,000.
About 13.
That's, but like me and Steve, right. Like it, nothing. I mean, it's working, so we're gonna drive it till it's dead. Because
I got you. No,
they wouldn't just give us much for trade in. So
right,
we have two of them, right?
Yeah, correct.
But I think we talked last year that we're just gonna start budgeting for a new one in the event that one does go down.
Yeah,
because we get
the money's there,
replacement fund already, but right. We're just gonna budget for it and
right,
at least the money's there.
Another thing we added into the budget was a striping machine, paint striping machine, which we think a couple uses it'd pay for itself.
Especially all that out here.
Especially out here. Nice, yeah, there. Do this, I mean, you could do the basketball court. I mean, constantly, once you get the lines down, then just keeping up with them will save us money over time and for paint the curbs too. So there's kind of quite a bit of uses we think we would get out of it. So we think it would be cost effective and Jason's willing to do it. So bonus. The big thing we got for seal coating, crack sealing, about $20,000. What we're figuring, we need to redo the parking lot here. It's been over 10 years. We got to do that. And then we have a portion over here that hasn't been seal coated from when we did the water improvement project with the water tower. The looping. So that's about $20,000. We're gonna meet with Brody while he's here with the streets too, to see if there's any other additional streets that may need to be addressed next year as far as seal coating or crack sealing too. So, but that's what we got as of now. Again, like Jason pointed out, there's $20,000 in there for the new rescue truck. Another thing we added was $500 to change the lighting out in the fire hall here to LED because it's on 24/7. So we just figure that's something that should be done. It'll pay for itself. About redoing the infield on the east field too, like you did on the west field. Money's in there, and then
it's actually Westfield.
Or sorry.
Yeah, you have Westfield listed as the budget item.
Doubled up there. I got west and east on one, and there we go. So yeah, so redoing the Westfield there, open shelters there, and that $2,000 for dirt is what we talked about, was taking the tar out, putting dirt and grass around the shelters there. Mm-hmm. And then what we have in there is new lighting for the park. I mean, if you go down there, it's dismal. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in that shelter and even the food stand, and there's the
lighting. And even actually Gary stopped and asked how everything was, and everything's good down there. And I'm like, what's it? He had some 2x4. He's like, there's no lighting in there. We put some lights there for pictures. And so that's, yeah. It needs it.
I agree with you on that. It's been...
So what that would include would be like you can see is new strips and industrial fans also in the big band shelter. So we have that in the budget. And then two, we're looking at about 65,000-70,000 to replace the pavement in the park, all around the buildings there, that pavement and by the ball field. So we got 10,000 in there. We should start putting money away for that. So, you know, when that's needed in about 4 or 5 years, that we have some money set away for that so we can get that completed and redone. Jason will be slurring that in the next couple weeks. So it may look nice when he does that, but underneath it.
Look where the bleachers are.
So them are all the main things as far as, you know, the general fund. And then on the water, we have got $3,000 in there for converting the lighting in there. What would you say, Jason? Half them lights are out?
Yeah.
And talked about converting that to LED. And then we save in the budget, replacing one curb stop, buying meters. Big thing is water tower is up to be clean. So we're looking at about $5,000 for that. And the water fund too is, even with all these things in here that we've added to the water tower, is next year $60,000 comes off of the debt of the water treatment plant. So the water fund will be quite healthy.
Fuck on wood.
And then we also have in there is cleaning and televising lines for sanitary sewer. That's something we need to get back kind of on schedule. Should be completed about every 5 years, the whole system. So we're long due to have that done again too. Then also in there, we talked about putting money away for a jetter. So them are the things we have in the budget. As you can see, there's other things on that list. And like I said, as you can see right here, we're, you know, almost 42 to the good. I mean, that will change a little bit as I start to get some numbers in, because right now I haven't really heard nothing on energy costs for next year. You know, and that's always a big one that can affect it. And then usually not till later do I get like the work comp and all that, but insurance I have computed and wages. So yeah, kind of we've gone through it, and me and Jason will continue to go through it. So I guess as of now, you know, the main things are, is there anything else on this, you know, these wish lists, or anything that's not on this wish list you want on the wish list? You know, I guess it's kind of the big thing for tonight, and then probably looking at a budget workshop next Tuesday to kind of really go through more so with a fine-tooth comb. And
I know we were talking about the hydrants.
Yep.
He sent me back an email for 5 of them, so I'm guessing that one by the all he can't do, and that's the one that Steven I know wants the most.
Okay, so then what, we'd have to replace that one?
That'd be a full replacement then. I'll reach out to Carol and ask him. But
okay,
Council, anything you want staff to research to add to the proposed budget for discussion.
The only thing I think with that, Chris, sorry, you know, you had sent me about what you guys want to do with the closet.
Yeah.
So I guess there too is, I think, something maybe we should add if the Lions is going to look at doing that.
Yeah, the Lions maybe would pay for that.
So. Okay. But then maybe we want to redo the floors in there.
And
what did we figure that cost, Jason? What was that, $800 or a grand?
So the front cloakroom,
yep,
you know, in the main hall is, you know, for the events that we do, we rarely see anybody ever use it.
Yeah.
But I, after our last discussion, I saw like when the fish fries there, it gets used quite extensively. But what the thought was is that we got a new grill that we're going to be using, and we want to keep it at the hall. And then we have another grill that we use for pancake breakfast. And then with the bingo machine still up on the stage, we figured we could put all those items, if we walled it off, you know, in the backside of the cloakroom. And I believe it would be, I think that, was it 12 feet is the width of that thing?
From
front to back? I think it's 12. So it's like, it'll be like 6 by 12 feet chunk that we take out. So basically from the east wall to the windowsill, and then
right
all the way north and south.
Right.
And then if we did need more, you know, racks or whatever, the Lions probably would be willing to like buy like those racks that are on wheels that move, that you can move them around.
Yeah.
To give more.
Wouldn't it be better to wait 1 year and just see what the fish club, I mean, because that's what I've heard fish fry, that they use a lot of it up. I mean, I just hate to not have room.
Yeah. No, so, I mean,
I think we should just wait for until after that for sure.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, because you won't want to do the floor either.
No, I don't want to do the floor.
That you don't want to put a floor over, you know.
So I think we just wait until February and find out if they actually use it all, or just someone kind of look in there.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right.
So the only other thing I would ask you guys, I know we talked a little bit about this before, but now that we got the parcel split up and things like that, I did look over there the other day. And so I believe there's about 8 feet of yellow curb from the stop sign back to the south. So if we use that as our guideline and where that yellow curb or the paint ends, and then maybe if we went 20, 25 feet to the south, and then we would fill in about a 20-foot area deep wise, and we might have to take a tree out though, but then we could fill it in with the same type of whatever material is on our property right now by the fence. And then that way that could be some additional parking. Yeah. I don't know what the cost would that be though.
What is that really gaining though, is my thing. Does it need not parking there?
Just thinking just some way to get some more off-street parking someplace in town. I mean, that's one that we do.
Overflow for weddings and the bar. And
yeah. Or because we have some empty buildings that could be used to do something. But there's no place for people to park in town to be able to utilize those buildings.
Well, a lot of those, you know, like the people that rent from the bar, they have an issue. They get tickets all the time, I guess, because they don't have no place to park.
Where I would say park? Anywhere on Railroad Street is.
Exactly. So, I mean, I would, if it's not too much, I would look into something like that. Yeah. I mean.
Essentially extending out the parking lot we have to the south.
Well, it wouldn't because.
How wide are you talking?
So probably 20 to 20 feet. I mean, 20 to 25 feet. I don't know what would be the ideal length, and then go about the same depth that our current parking lot is. But we wouldn't be able to, because there's a stop sign there. Right. We wouldn't be able to make that whole thing all a continuous parking lot because of that stop sign area. So the thought would be is from the yellow curb to the yellow, you know, the end of the other yellow on the south side. And then that's where we would cut and we would enter in from there. Oh. So there would be a strip of green grass.
If we do it, I think just put gravel across the whole thing. Yeah, that's going to be there. But because otherwise it's,
I don't know. Well, the thing is, what's a parking spot? How wide's a stall? 6, 7 feet? I don't know. We'd have to figure that out to figure out, you know what I mean? Because you're probably only going to add, what, maybe four spots, but
four or five stalls, maybe, you know, if that.
we can look at.
Yeah, I just, like I said,
until we know that. I want to connect in that just because since Trevis owns that now, that snow pile should be farther to the south and gravel be in there. That's why I like it more there. But,
right. Well, I mean, we could still put gravel there. We just wouldn't cut the curb out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're probably going to kill the grass with the snow pile.
Yeah.
What it just be.
Yeah.
But I just figure if we could get some idea what that potential cost would be.
Good.
And then if it makes sense, awesome. If not, then oh well.
Right. You know, I'll figure out some numbers for it. And hopefully, a budget time, I'll have that.
Isn't it on the list? We just don't have the cost. Parking lot, yeah, we just don't have a cost, so
okay,
we'll look at that. What that would be, extend parking lot on Railroad Street.
Okay,
I guess before we move on from the budget thing, two things. Did we talk about a while ago a budgeting for now the ramp that's pulling away off of the?
We
that's in there.
That's in here. Okay. What was it? 15 grand.
15 grand.
I know we fixed the one part, but now the.
Right.
Other part needs to be fixed.
Yeah. That's okay. About 15 grand, we figured.
Okay.
So it's on here. It's just not in the budget.
Right. Right. I guess then the only other thing, and this is like, I mean, I see it highlighted. I don't know if this is the time to talk about it or not, but I mean, as far as that empty lot down there, whether that's a garden or a hockey rink or I guess I would be kind of curious to see what it costs to put in a pickleball slash in the winter, make it a hockey rink and have a pickleball thing there in the summer. I don't play pickleball, so I'm not like standing up for myself here, but I know it's something that other people have brought up as
Jeremy, we're kind of talking about that, but is it,
you know,
is it, I mean, could you even do like a retractable pickleball net or something and do it on the basketball court?
Well, we were talking about putting pickleball next to the basketball court.
Yeah. Right. I mean, right. Because I'm kind of thinking if we're going to spend the money on a pickleball court, because that's, you know, you're paving that and then you have that surface on top. If that's durable enough to put a hockey rink on top of it, then why don't we just do two birds?
And also, is it bad? Are we going to put it in and then nobody, because we had them tennis courts for years that nobody used.
Right.
So that's what we're kind of.
We had this discussion the other day for about 20 minutes.
Right.
You know, because the concern was, is it a fad or not? You know, or. Would the money be better used to fix a street than
right
put in a pickleball court that
might two be people used for 3 years?
That's why I thought if there's like some type of nets you can just
pull and out. I know, because an ice rink, I mean, they had the fire department did that, and then there was like pretty much one family that went down there.
Yeah.
Like not many people really used it. So that's what you're going to spend. Like, you want to put a hockey rink in, I mean, you got to post every 4 or 5 feet.
And right.
The board's up. 4 feet. I mean, it's going to be,
you know, and the other thing,
a lot of money.
You run into what we talked about too is what kind of soil is there on that outlot. That's a concern.
Most of that, I believe, is peat ground, because that's
not. Well, Dad said it's all when they did the roads, they just threw all the junk over there.
Yeah.
So it's, that's a concern also too if you're going to build something on it. You know. Yeah, it's tough because like what I was telling Jason, typically what cities do is, you know, when you're growing on your building permit, there's a 1,000 or 1,500 or whatever the dedication fee is for parks that they'll add to your permit, and then that's how they do these things, you know, do your park or your amenities like that. It's typically how. So yeah, we've thrown it around.
What about a dog park? Just put a fence up.
Yeah, that's another thing I've heard too.
Well, you know, dog parks are nice too, but then the cons of it are is who's cleaning it. And I know like the one in that's just in Victoria there. I know at one time they threatened to close it down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because nobody was cleaning up after themselves. I mean, it's the pros and cons, and then what's the liability? You know what I mean? I mean, I just always trying to look at both sides. I mean, a dog park would be nice too, you know? I mean, yeah.
Well, why don't we, so we can create a poll on our Facebook page. So why don't we create a poll for pickleball
and just see what the engagement is. I mean, I know not every resident is on Facebook, but
right,
we can mention it too in the newsletter that, you know, we're going to have a poll as we go through the budget or however we word it. And then we can just put a poll up there. If Hamburg had a pickleball court, would you use it? Or something very simple like that. Or
what if we could set it up where we'd give options, really? Would you like a pickleball court? Would you like a hockey rink? Would you like community gardens?
Yeah.
You know, give them options.
Yeah, because like me and Jeremy are talking, you do something like a pickleball court, people, oh, that's a great idea, but they'll never use it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they want it, but so that's, like Jeremy said, options be better, like one or the other. Like,
yeah.
So,
well, and I think it would,
but if we have a community garden, we almost have to have the water there.
I know.
So,
that or the rain barrels, one of the two.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Rain barrels from the buildings that ain't there.
But their county has a project or a program that you can get rain barrels for relatively cheap.
Yeah.
How do other cities do community gardens? Because I can just see that being a disaster. Someone hooking up their own hose and watering their own lawn.
Take where they have the city hall and the sheriffs and whatever there. They have a community garden there.
Right.
I heard someone said in Norwoods was kind of a disaster though too.
But I'm just curious, like how do you monitor the water if it's just a city water spigot and people are like, well, I'll just hook that my hose up at night and. You know what I mean? Like, how do you monitor that? You're like,
I know.
Another thing for you to lock and unlock every day at a certain time. And it just sounds
like 500 feet of garden. You know,
there's probably got to be some mechanism you can maybe put on there to lock it.
Right.
And then just one person has the key.
You know, I'm just thinking outside the box.
I know. It's, you want to do so many things, but, you know, what roadblocks do you run into?
Right.
And that could be it. Someone don't care. They turn water on. Water runs for 8 hours
exactly. Yeah, and I grew up with a lot of family that had gardens. We have gardens, and everybody knows what the gardens look like this time of year. Not a lot of them are taken care of, and they're pretty overgrown.
We did it for 2-3 years, and then I said to the wife, "Do you got a garden out there, or are you growing weeds?"
Right. You know, and 90% of the city gardens I drive
picking it, or am I weed whipping
all
it?
Over the multiple states look just like a big weed bed with a couple of tomatoes sticking up. So
I agree.
I mean, I think it's a great idea to put a pole in there to let people decide what they want, but. Like you said, looking at both sides of it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But I feel like community gardens are more for people that don't have room.
Right.
For a lot of people have room here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're like
they're, apartments or.
Well, they're huge in
it. That's what Jess was saying. Like elderly, like Norway, the elderly are there for that building, but we really, most people have houses here.
So that's kind of the nice thing about this town is the lots are a little bigger. If you want a garden, you can do a raised garden. I like the idea of Facebook and a poll. Give them 3-4 options and see what we come up with.
Okay.
Before we fall off and spend a bunch of money.
Let's do that then and we'll take care of it. So I'll look for a motion that we hold our budget workshop on September 17th. Anybody have any objection to doing it at 6 p.m.?
I might not be here.
Because it's 6 p.m. or because
no,
it's
just of the day.
At all.
Okay. All right. So then with that said, if someone wants to make a motion to hold it at 6 p.m.
It doesn't have to be Tuesday either, whatever works for everybody too.
Tuesday works for me. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Tuesday. I mean, any time early, like Monday, Tuesday work probably the best for me. Thursday, I had to leave for a wedding, so I won't be here.
17th, I mean, don't matter to me. If we do it Monday, we can do it.
Yeah, don't matter to me. Monday or Tuesday works. For me,
any day Monday work better for you or no?
I can make it Monday. I just don't know about Tuesday.
Right.
Well, there's Lions on Monday.
Okay. Oh yeah. Never mind.
Are you out of town the whole week or?
No, just Tuesday, Thursday. I can't that week. So I can do Wednesday.
You can do Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Is it the 18th?
18th. Yeah. So 18th at 6 o'clock Wednesday.
I make a motion to hold the budget workshop September 18th at 6 p.m.
Councilman Poplar seconded.
It's moved and seconded to hold the budget workshop on September 18th at 6 p.m. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Pauline, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? Passes. Then we'll look to, I'll need a motion to hold our second council meeting, and we'll hold that at the regular time because that's what's in our bylaws. So.
Yep.
I make a motion to hold our second city council meeting on September 24th at 7 p.m.
Councilman Poplar, second.
It's been moved and seconded to hold our second city council meeting on September 24th, 2024 at 7 p.m. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? Passes. Move on then to city reports. Councilman Paulzine.
Not really much on street since we've talked about it. I do apologize for being gone the last couple of meetings. I'm still catching up on stuff. One thing I was just curious about on the, I only noticed this because we were in the back of the packet, and that's why I'm bringing it up. And like I said, it's most likely an educational thing for me. Delinquent utility bills, the ones that are over 120 days. Do we shut power or water or what do we gas off? Or?
I believe two of them are scheduled for shut off on the 16th.
Yeah.
Well, they have to pay by the 16th, shut off on the
17th. The problem is they, how do I say this nice? They play the system, you know,
right?
Come in, set up a payment plan, buy time, pay it once, then don't pay. And then we're back to shut off and then they pay, you know, right. You know what I mean? It's just yep. This. But yeah, two of them. The two highest ones on there, well, the one will get certified to taxes because I don't even think he's around. So we'll certify that one to taxes.
Okay.
And then the other two high ones. And because usually what we do is if you're 30 to 60 days over, you get, you know, the notice, initial notice. And if nothing's paying, then you get another notice that you're going to get shut off.
Okay.
And then we have the CSOs post that. So
yeah,
we do monitor it.
Yep. No, I was just curious. I was like I said, looking at that, you know, 8,500.
Like I said, how some of them build up.
Right.
Because they play the system.
Wait till the end, pay one more payment.
Yeah,
and they buy, pushed they off buy for another week or two.
You know, 60 to 90 days by playing the game.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that was my only question on that is like looking at $8,500 that is owed and it's like, well, there's 1.5% of taxes.
It's another one of them. None of us, you know, like to send that notice.
Right. No, I agree. Yeah. Other than that, I got nothing else.
Okay. Councilman Poplar.
Nothing here.
Councilman Weber.
Nothing.
The only thing I have is we'll be getting, the newsletter out this week. I will be holding mayors in time as normal next month as well. Other than that, I have nothing else more to say.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Councilman Poplar, second.
It's moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Hamburg City Council for September 10th, 2024 is adjourned at 2013.